Continue our series on looking at what it is to seek first. First things first. Oh, there it is. Seeking first things first, because you know we've got plans that we've got for the year, but sometimes you just got to set aside and say, God, what is the more important things that we need to do before we do anything else? We need to get our stuff together and make sure that we've got our right priorities and that we're building for success for the year, because God wants us to bless us. God wants us to be successful. And sometimes we've got to go about things the right way, God's way, and not just rush in and do what we feel to do right. So in knowing what to do first, what to address first, it gives us the ability to start to judge all the opportunities and decisions that we've got to make for the rest of the year. So if we've got a right priority where we want to put God's agenda first, that helps us to look at what is happening, what is being presented before us, to be able to say, God, is this what you want for my life? Is this the best thing for me? And by doing that, that helps us become wise in our decision making, rather than trying to base it on how we feel, what we see is good or pleasant, satisfying for us. We actually say, God, is this the right way to go? Because does this help you, or does this lead me away from you? And so when we start to think like that, when we take on that kind of mindset, we really start to look at life differently, and we start to make some good choices. We start to make some good decisions. Our life starts to be blessed. You know, sometimes, however, we want to combine the kingdom of God, the things of the kingdom of God, with the things of the world in order to try and get the best of both worlds. But so if we don't understand what God considers to be the most important things that we need to put first, then we're actually opening ourselves up to be actually led astray, away from God, to do the things that we want to do. And that tends to lead us into trouble. So God has put a principle in his word of putting first things first, making sure that what is first is attended to before we do anything else, because then that can shape the rest of the thing. So in this series so far, we've looked at what to do first. And Jesus said, we looked at last week, which was Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God. That's from Matthew 6:33. And so we looked at how in seeking first the kingdom of God, it requires of us to have an actual strong level of faith and trust in God's goodness and faithfulness, where we are confident that in seeking first the kingdom of God, that God will look after our welfare and safety. Because there is a cost that comes in putting God's kingdom first. There is a cost that comes in saying, no, God, I want to follow your way rather than all these other opportunities. And sometimes those opportunities can look rewarding, can look satisfying. But so in that moment of decision, do we have the confidence, do we have the faith in God to say, God, if I give up this opportunity for success or you know, relationship or whatever, that you will look after me? Because God says, listen, it's either my way is the first way, is the primary way. And sometimes that means we've got to let go of some things. So in that moment of decision, can we say, God, I trust you. I'm going to lose a pay rise. I'm going to lose a career opportunity. I'm going to lose some prestige or a relationship that I really feel is going to be good for me, but it just doesn't fit into your kingdom. Do I have the trust to be able to go through with that decision? So it takes a bit of faith and trust on our behalf. It could come with some expense at our life. So in seeking first the kingdom of God, can we trust God that he will supply all our needs, and that what he supplies for our needs is the best and most rewarding options? It's important for us to understand that we're not asking for you to take second best. Oh, you know, this is the, if I seek first the kingdom of God, I've got to give up all this reward for second best, for a hand-me-down. Nobody wants hand-me-downs, do they? But what God gives us is the best. We may not think that way, but God gives us the best. And so this week, we want to look at another thing that Jesus calls us to seek first, which is to seek to be last. So we're talking about being first, but Jesus talks about being last. So this quote comes from a parable that Jesus used to teach what our attitude and mindset should be when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God. It comes from the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. So let's read that from Matthew 20. It said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things. Or is your eye evil because I am good? So, Jesus says, the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, in society, being regarded as first or becoming the first person or the winner is a highly valued prize. Most news outlets, whether it's television or newspaper or social media, promote themselves as being the ones who deliver the news first, right? Apparently, it's very important to be the first person to hear what is happening in our society. But even in sports, the teams we follow are all about competing against other clubs to see who is the one who finishes first or top of the table, you know, number one, top of the table, first. We just recently had the Tour Down Under, where they came through Strathalbyn on Friday, and it's all about which bike rider and their respective teams will be the first ones to cross the line. That's what the Tour de France. Even like motorsport racing, like Formula One, it's all about who can be the first team and driver to go to a fridge and grab a can of Red Bull, because Red Bull don't build cards, they just sell sports drink. But Formula One is all about crossing the line first, right? And even in our work environment, we are employed to make the most sales, make the most products, to be noticed first, to help our company or our business be top or first in its field of work. But you know, being first is sometimes never a good thing. Sometimes being slow and steady can actually win you the race. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says this. I took another walk around the neighborhood and realized that on earth as it is, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor satisfaction to the wise, nor riches to the smart, nor grace to the learned. Sometimes it's not a good thing to rush on ahead to try and be first. At the age of 61, Cliff Young won the inaugural Westfield to Sydney to Melbourne marathon, a distance of 875 kilometres at the age of 61. Cliff, I don't think they do this race anymore because he died while he was running. No, it's not true. Cliff ran at a slow and steady pace. He was a potato farmer, I think from New South Wales, hill country of New South Wales, a potato farmer. And he ran at a slow and steady pace. At the end of the first day, he trailed the pack by a large margin because everyone took off hard and heavy and he just plodded along. Yet while the other competitors stopped to sleep for 6 hours, Cliff Young kept on running, not stopping to sleep. Cliff's plan was to continually run for 5 days straight without taking a break for sleep, which enabled him to eventually take the lead on the first night of the race, and which caused him to eventually win the race by 10 hours from his nearest competitor. So in some way, Cliff's running strategy is a reflection of what Jesus is trying to tell us in this parable. See, the kingdom of God is not looking for people who rush ahead to put themselves first before everyone else. Rather, what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is to be made up of those who are slow and steady, reliable and consistent, who eventually get themselves over the line through their consistency and persistence, rather than having those who run hard during the day but sleep at night. And so in seeking to put the kingdom of God first, we've got to understand is that God doesn't operate according to our way of thinking. God's ways are different to our ways, where being the first and the best doesn't necessarily mean that we will end up first in the kingdom. There are many examples of where God would call someone to a position or role ahead of the designated person who was next in line for the job. We think of David, who was appointed as a young boy to become king of Israel. Joseph, who was rejected by his family to eventually become the leader to save the people of Israel. In fact, Jesus, in choosing a group of men to start a movement that would last for centuries and impact the world, Jesus chose 12 men who were mostly described from Acts 4 as unschooled and ordinary men, unlearned and ignorant men. See, God often chooses unlikely people to do his work. The Apostle Paul wrote this, he said, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when God chose you. Not many of you were considered to be wise by human standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you belonged to an important family. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." Who likes to be called foolish? "God chose the weak things." Do you like to be called weak? "Of the world to shame the strong. God chose the things of this world that are common and looked down on. God chose things considered unimportant to do away with things considered important. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Sanctification is another word for holiness. "We became holy and redeemed. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts," don't boast in yourself, but boast in the Lord. See, Paul understood that God will often choose those who are considered to be the most unlikely to do something important for him. If we see ourselves as weak or unqualified, or disqualified, unable to be used of God, then I say, welcome to the club. God chooses people that are not qualified. And if we consider ourselves to be unusable, friends, then we're going to have to start coming up with another excuse. Because God has always been working with what the world considers to be the weak and unskilled since the beginning of time. And so Jesus actually says that the kingdom of God is for those who end up last. In other words, those who are usually overlooked and ignored, they will be the ones who ultimately end up first in the kingdom of God. Now, being picked is never a great feeling. I remember throughout my school life, whenever we would organise a game of soccer or Aussie rules, you would stand in a group and the elected captains would start to take turns to picking who they wanted on their team. And as the options got smaller, the people who were chosen last were the players that everyone considered to be the least skilled and not really wanting on their team, the weakest link in the team. And it's never a great feeling to be standing there watching as everyone else was being selected ahead of you. That just highlighted how unskilled you were to play the game. But then when we enter the workplace, we find that the same selection process is happening at work, where people are only chosen, they only choose the best ones to fill the positions that are there. Yet when it comes to the kingdom of God, we are here by the grace of God and nothing else. Whatever favour or opportunity we have been given comes as a blessing from God. And therefore, we need to be grateful for all that we have, regardless of whether we have many or whether we have few, whether we have the highest position or whether we have the lowest. Because all that we have and all that we are comes from God's divine hand, and it is by his grace that we have any form of talent or gifting or intelligence to offer to people. It's only by the grace of God that we do what we do. It's by his grace. And so becoming last is all about becoming a servant to all. Becoming a servant is the way of Jesus. Mark 10, it says, and Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, in this passage, Jesus actually never rebuked his disciples for wanting to be great. He never said, you can't be great. The only thing he did say was to explain to them that the pathway to greatness in the kingdom of God is to become a servant of all, is to put yourself last. That is the way to greatness. To help serve and lift others up. To help people move forward in their faith. To help encourage them. To support them. To put people first is the pathway to greatness. This is the way of the kingdom. To seek first the kingdom of God. It requires us to maybe make some sacrifices, but one of the biggest sacrifices is actually to say to ourselves, to recognize that we are not as important as what we think we are, and that we're here to help one another, support each other. See, there are no egos in the kingdom of God, only acts of sacrifice and acts of humility. Again, we have to ask ourselves, is this what we would want for our life? In seeking first the kingdom of God, am I prepared to make myself lower or last in order to lift others up? Is that something that we can handle if we say, God, I want to do your will. I want to seek for the kingdom of God. And then God says, okay, go and serve everybody without an agenda. Is that something we can do? Yet Jesus says that we receive honor from our Heavenly Father for our service to others. John chapter 12, he says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor me, will honor him. There's great honor in being a servant in the kingdom of God. During World War II, when England needed to increase its coal production for the war, Winston Churchill called together labor leaders. He asked them to picture in their minds a victory parade, which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. First, he said, first picture this. First in line would be the sailors who kept the vital sea lanes open. And everyone's cheering for them. And then would come the soldiers who had returned from Dunkirk. They went on to defeat Rommel in Africa, and we'll be celebrating them. Next would be the pilots who'd driven the Luftwaffe from the skies. Last of all, he said, picture this, would come along a line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in their miners' caps. Someone would shout from the crowd, and where were you during the critical days of your struggle? And Winston Churchill would say, and from 10,000 throats of miners would come the answer, we were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal. They played an important role, but no one could see what they were doing. They were just serving the nation of England. See, not everything that we do in our service to the church may be glamorous, that gets all the attention. But those who serve God with their faces to the coal play just as much a vital role in fulfilling his purpose on earth as anyone else in the church. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes this. He says, am I trying to win the approval of men or God? If I tried to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Friends, a servant of God is someone who is content to work quietly in the shadows. In seeking first the kingdom of God, let our mindset be that at every opportunity and whatever level of responsibility we have been given, that we give of ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor for the Lord is not in vain. Bill Wilson is a pastor from New York who loved to build Sunday schools in some of New York City's worst areas. In the process of doing this ministry, Bill has been stabbed and shot, and one of his team members was killed. One day, a Puerto Rican lady who could barely speak English said to him, I want to do something for God. Bill said, okay, get on the buses, the many buses that he had to go around New York to pick up kids for Sunday school. He said, okay, ride a different Sunday school bus every week and just love the kids. Share the love around. So she rode a different bus. Bill had dozens of them, and she just loved the children. After several months, she became attached to this one little boy. And she said to Bill, I don't want to change buses anymore. I just want to stay on this one, she told Bill. See, the boy came to Sunday school every week with his sister and sat on the lady's lap, but never made a sound. She would repeatedly tell him, I love you and Jesus loves you. One day, to her amazement, he turned around and stammered, I love you too. Then he gave her a big hug. That was at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. At 6:30 that night, the boy was found dead in a dumpster under a fire escape. His mother had beaten him to death and thrown his body into the trash. I love you, and Jesus loves you. Those were some of the last words that little boy heard in his short life, from the lips of a Puerto Rican woman who could barely speak any English. And Bill says this: who among us is qualified to minister? Who even knows what to do? Not you and not me. I just ran to the altar once and got some fire and just went out. And so did this woman who couldn't speak English, and so can you. Let's pray.